I just want to pray for God's blessing on His Word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we have heard of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem all those years ago, Lord, we're reminded of events that took place in that week, Lord God, that would impact our lives hundreds and hundreds of years later. Lord, we pray that Your living and active Word would impact our lives this morning, and You would give us ears to hear what You're saying to us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over recent weeks, we've been looking at, or have looked at, the mercy of God depicted in some of the parables told or taught by Jesus. And last week, Dave read about the man who leased his vineyard to tenants, who then refused to give him any of the produce. And we saw how these same tenants maltreated the man's servants whom he had sent, and also killed his son. And from the parable, we learned that the man, the vineyard owner, is God. The tenants were Israel. The servants were God's prophets whom He had sent over the generations. And of course, the son was Jesus. And it was really interesting as Dave laid out again the seven chairs, reminding us that these weren't wee stories that Jesus just did sort of ad hoc. These were well-crafted messages that Jesus wanted people to glean from. And as Dave laid out the seven shares of this story, of this parable, you could see how we would have stopped straight away, went from one here to the end. You would see that in this story, that's what we do. And Dave had to caution us last week, like so many others, we could easily miss the point of the parable by only focusing on the end result, which was the justice of God. However, long before the justice or judgment of God is ever poured out, the mercy of God is extended to people everywhere. You see, the bad tenants maltreated and rejected God's prophets whom He sent. But if anybody reads their Bible, you will see that He continually sent prophets warning the people of Israel over many, many years. God continually sent people to warn Israel. And these bad tenants maltreated and rejected God's prophets whom He sent. Yet they couldn't see that the prophets were actually ambassadors of God's mercy toward them. And then eventually, God sent His son Jesus, as Rita read of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. God sent Jesus, and men rejected Him and killed Him. And so with the mercy of God rejected, God Himself being rejected, His son Jesus being rejected by men, is it any wonder the Bible speaks of a coming day of judgment? Today, 2015, many years later, people are still rejecting the mercy of God. The vast majority of people out in the communities around about us, right across North Down, right across the whole of Northern Ireland, the vast majority of people are rejecting God. They've rejected the mercies of God. They've rejected God Himself, and they continue to reject His Son Jesus. However, long before the judgment of God is poured out, the mercy of God is extended to sinners. And therefore, on the day of judgment, every person is without excuse. As I prepared this talk during the week, it sort of made me shudder slightly, because I give it the title, The Cry of Hell. If you want to know, get a glimpse of what hell is like, you will hear it this morning. This is the cry of hell. In Psalm 22, psalmist writes these words, verse 1 and 2. My God, why have You forsaken me? Why are You so far from helping me? and from the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. And then if you want to turn, please, to Mark chapter 15. And we're reading from verse 22. And they brought Jesus to the place Golgotha, or Calvary, which is translated place of a skull. And then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified Jesus, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, Look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he continually taught on the mercy of God toward mankind. And yet people still rejected God's mercy and rejected God. When you think of the thousands that Jesus spoke to, of the many, many people who were healed of sicknesses and diseases and demons cast out, in the very end, there was a handful of people who held fast to Jesus. People rejected Jesus. They rejected God's mercy. Therefore, they rejected God. And in this last week of Jesus' life, within days, they would reject Jesus, God's Son. And imagine for a moment, if you can, how Jesus must have felt. He who so loved mankind that he came into this world of darkness as a man to rescue us from the reign of sin and death, and was rejected by those he came to save. And we know of the great anguish that Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane when his sweat, we're told, was like drops of blood falling to the ground as he pondered the horror of what rejection by men would entail. Crucifixion. Is it any wonder in the Garden of Gethsemane Jesus prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. I mean, we've all been there, not in the Garden of Gethsemane in the anguish that Jesus was in, but we've had our trials and we've prayed to God, oh God, if it's possible, could you get me out of this? Not with Jesus, it was, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, the horror of what was to come, yet not my will, but yours be done. And the horror of what was still to come, still to befall Jesus, is unimaginable. haven't been illegally tried in a kangaroo court, scourged and sentenced to death by crucifixion. Jesus was taken outside the city and crucified on the hill Golgotha. Here was the ultimate extent of man's rejection of Jesus, the Son of God. And little did those who gathered around know that the minute Jesus was nailed to the cross, he became a curse. God's word said, "Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree." And yet, out of his love for mankind, Jesus allowed himself to become a curse for us. And having so identified himself with human sin, although he himself was without sin, the worst horror was still to come. King David of Israel wrote the words of Psalm 22, speaking of his plight and his need for God's help in very difficult circumstances. And as he penned the words, I wonder, did he realize that they were prophetic and would be cried out by God's Son, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? You see, these words, we read over them and we see them and we think, oh, that's really sad. But these words were not whimpered out with a trembling bottom lip or in a dying last breath just sort of gasped out. The word groaning here that the psalmist uses and that Jesus spoke, the word groaning is translated roaring. My God, why have you forsaken me? That is the cry of hell. Every human being is without excuse, and they know that God exists, and they choose to reject God, and they choose to reject his mercy, and they choose to reject Jesus, and eventually they will cry out from hell, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was the cry of one utterly abandoned, completely rejected by God. This was the cry of a son who loved his father so much that he came to do his will. And yet this was the roaring of one who had become sin for us and received God's holy and righteous penalty for such. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And for the first time in all eternity, he was rejected by his Father. Because God, who is holy, cannot look upon sin. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me and from the words of my roaring? And with a loud voice, he cried out and breathed his last. This is the cry of hell. If you want to know what hell will be like, it's there. My God, why have you forsaken me? If hell is utter abandonment, complete rejection by God, to be cut off from the life of God, then this was hell for Jesus. And yet, in Jesus' abandonment and his complete rejection by God his Father, we get another insight and glimpse of the mercy of God. You see, by pouring out his judgment upon Jesus, who bore our sin in his body on the tree, who became a curse for us, the mercy of God is clearly manifested, it's clearly demonstrated, because that same holy and righteous judgment upon sin is not poured out on us who truly deserve it. And there is the mercy of God, even in that awful, awful abandonment and rejection of his own son, whom he loved so much. We see the mercy of God towards people like us. That judgment upon Jesus is no longer poured upon us, and is not going to be poured upon those who put their trust in Jesus. Salvation is about a person seeing Jesus taking the rejection and condemnation that you and I deserve. You see, it's only in the cross of Jesus that we see the seriousness of our sin. You think it's okay to go out and toy with sin? Look to the cross of Jesus and see, is it okay to toy with sin? It's only in the cross of Jesus that we see the seriousness of our sin. And yet, in that same place, we see the wonders of God's mercy and grace. It's at the cross of Jesus where heaven's peace and perfect justice kiss a guilty world in love. It's like, if you can imagine, all the wrath and punishment and judgment of God poured out on Jesus so that he could kiss you. So that he could come along and tell you, I love you. And so that you could kiss the Son and tell him you love him. Here we see the truth of the statement. Long before the judgment of God is poured out, the mercy of God is extended to sinners. You know, throughout his ministry, Jesus continually spoke of the mercy of God toward mankind. And yet people rejected God's mercy and rejected God. And God's mercy is still extended to people everywhere. And yet people continue to reject it, reject God, and reject his Son. We Christians, we who know and love the Lord Jesus, we, like God's prophets of old, we are ambassadors of God's mercy when we go out into the communities. When we go out into our homes, when we go to our workplaces, when we take cards and give them to people and say, thank you for serving me, when we invite people to come to different events, when we go out there as Christians and seek to live the Christian life, when we're different to the world, we are ambassadors of God's mercy towards others. And we must declare God's good news about his Son Jesus, who was despised and rejected by those he came to save, who was rejected by God his Father as he bore in his body on the cross the penalty for our sin. Because it's through the rejection that our acceptance by God is guaranteed. By Jesus' rejection and death, we gain acceptance and life. You know, maybe this morning you're facing great anguish and difficulties in your life, and maybe you've been crying out to God, wondering why he isn't answering you. In fact, maybe you feel like God has abandoned you or rejected you. Well, let me tell you, if that's how you feel, if that's what you believe, you're believing the lies of Satan. Because of Jesus, the Christian can be absolutely assured they are never abandoned or rejected by God. As Shirley said this morning, press on in your pursuit of God, and He will come to you. Because of your faith in Jesus, no matter how weak that faith in Jesus is, because of that faith in Jesus, God our Father will never leave us or forsake us. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Jesus has taken all of the rejection, all of the suffering, all of the condemnation, and all of the judgment for us. There is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The judgment and the fire my eyes shall never see. And you will never be able to cry the cry of hell. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me and from the words of my groan? Listen, you might have a difficult time, and that's not making light of difficult times. But you have the absolute assurance, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you will never be rejected by God your Father. You will never be forsaken. Maybe this morning you're here and you're not yet a Christian. Well, you need to know that God's mercy is extended to you right now. But let me ask, what will you do with it? His mercies are new every morning. But what do you do with them? People continue to reject God's mercy, reject God, and reject His Son Jesus. Is it therefore any wonder the Bible speaks of a day of judgment that is coming? And on that day, every person, including any unbeliever in this place, on that day, every person will be without excuse, because long before the judgment of God is poured out, the mercy of God is extended to sinners. And I pray that no one in this place will ever know the cry of hell, but rather that you would receive God's mercy today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, when we think of the cry of hell, that total abandonment, complete rejection by you, being cut off from the life of God for all eternity, Lord, it should send a shiver down our spines. Not for us who know Jesus and love Jesus, because we have been promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will never abandon us. But for others, Lord, who continue to reject your mercy, reject you, and reject your Son Jesus, we pray for them this morning. We pray for our loved ones, that you would extend your mercies to them still. And that by the power of your Spirit, Lord God, you would awaken them to life in Jesus Christ, that they would never cry the cry of hell. Father, though we may face trial and tribulation, though we may encounter great difficulties in our lives, though sickness and disease and threat of death itself may befall us, for those who know you and love you because of Jesus, we hold fast to the promise that you are with us always, even on to the end of the age, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, this morning we thank you for your word. And we pray that your word would do its work under the influence and power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.